This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. Do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and tell your friends. Either that or I'll leave to become President Trump's chief of staff. Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
This is Governor Ralph Northam, who, by the way, ran as a moderate because it's Virginia, you know. And this is what he had to say regarding a bill in the state legislature. Take a listen.
There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure, and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, you know, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen.
Now, let's stop it right there. First of all, let me clarify that the bill removes the three-physician rule that's currently on the books in Virginia. All right, so that provision would go away. That's part of the debate. But this is a question now, and this is what the governor says. The question is when the child is born, okay? Now, you know, you want to have the argument about a woman's body and what goes on inside the body? When the child comes out of the body, it's always been understood that at that point, the Constitution and the laws automatically applied. You know how you talk about the 14th Amendment to the Constitution and how automatically you're a U.S. citizen? Well, with that comes a whole bunch of rights. I always love when the left talks about the 14th Amendment and they go, well, you're automatically a citizen, even if they drag you over here and they give. Okay, but when, so then you have rights, right? And you have protections under our laws. You have due process rights. You are a human being at that point. I'm not talking about before. I'm talking about the moment you've come out. You're out. You're out of the womb. You made it out. You escaped. You're out. Now the question becomes, do you or not have legal protection? And I'm sorry, but that's not even a question of philosophy. That's just a question of the law at that moment in time. It's a question of legal protection. And then at that point, all kinds of other things have to take place. All kinds of other things have to kick into gear here. But listen to the governor's answer on what he thinks should happen in a situation where a child is born. Take a listen.
The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in, as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions
now
shouldn't
be taken. Now, let's
stop
it right there. Now he goes back to, you know, the woman just lets this pass. The interviewer just lets this pass. But let's understand here what he's talking about. The infant would be delivered. So at that moment, you have a baby's in the world, right? So a human being is now delivered, out of the body now, delivered. At that moment, this isn't a matter of telling a woman what to do with her body. It's not about her body anymore. The baby's out of the body, right? The baby is now out of the human body, the vessel in which it is now into the world. So now it's another question. It's another conversation that has to take place. But he just goes back to the left talking points on this, and the interviewer from WTOP, I guess it's the local station out there, she just rolls right over it. Wait, Governor, you're talking about an infant being born. You're saying keep it comfortable and then maybe resuscitate it, and then maybe what, Governor? Kill it? Nope, just flies over it. And now all these people are trying to spin what he meant to say, Well, he meant to say if the baby's sick, if the baby's born dead, no, he's not. He's not saying those things, because he's saying right now they'd resuscitate it, keep it comfortable. No, he's talking about an abortion, a late-term abortion where the baby is delivered. Basically, for whatever reason, it doesn't go well and the baby's born. It doesn't go the way they intended and the baby survives. Now, for example, there's a federal law called the Born Alive Act, which is something that the Republicans still, for whatever reason, can't seem to pass, as much as they keep proposing it, that would automatically protect a human being in that circumstance, would automatically extend the Constitution of the United States to that human being, to that person, and say, you at this point have life. Whether or not you can take care of yourself is irrelevant. There are lots of people who can't take care of themselves in this country. Lots of them. There are millions of people who probably can't take care of themselves without the help of other people. It's not about that. It's about being a life outside of the womb, and there's no question about you are, in fact. And then at that point, it's not a matter of, I don't know if I want it to be in the world or not. That's not a conversation to have in any other circumstance other than in some sort of a conversation about, do you want to commit murder? There's no other way around that at that point. That's not a philosophical conversation in that moment. So now all these lefties are trying to spin it. Well, he meant if the baby's got a heart defect. Wait, whoa. If the baby's got a heart defect, well, then doctors, there's all kinds of life-saving and medical technologies and everything else. You still have a responsibility under the law to try to save that human being's life at that point. You don't get to decide, I don't want to try. That's not how it works. That baby is supposed to have legal protections. Every human being is supposed to have legal protections. Well, but the mother gets to decide. No, she doesn't. What if a mother gets to decide she doesn't want her six-year-old being taken care of anymore? How does that work? This is what I mean in terms of how absolutely insane this party has gotten. There's no moderates left here. This party has gone completely off the rails, cuckoo left. I don't know how you can justify being part of this. I really don't. I don't know how you with a straight face can justify being part of that. I couldn't. It's sickening to me. It's one thing to debate abortion in the first term. You're having the conversation about a human being who's been delivered into this world, and you're telling me that you don't think the Constitution and the laws should apply in that circumstance? And that's what New York did with Cuomo, and now Virginia? It's sick, is what it is. It's inhuman, is what it is. And this is where the Democratic Party's going. This is where they're going now. It's extreme. It's vile. And I just hope to God that at some point it's rejected in mass by the American people, because it is going down a very, very dangerous and dark place where you're taking away any semblance left of human individuality. I want to share with you the latest from his office now and what his office is saying. Aaron Blake over at the Washington Post reporting on this. The governor's comments were limited to the actions physicians would take in the event that a woman facing non-viable pregnancy or severe fetal abnormalities went into labor. That's what the governor's saying now. And because he's facing severe backlash over his abortion comments in Virginia, because there are still conservatives in Virginia. So he's got to actually try to explain himself now. Unlike in New York, where they just don't care. Cuomo doesn't. He doesn't, you know, they're all in on this. But what's telling, though, is that no Democrats condemned him for this. They all just started to explain what he meant. I find that very, very telling. And I encourage you to think about that for a moment. No Democrats came out and said, oh, my God, what did he say? Not one. Not that I can find. The conservatives came out and said, how dare you say this? This is horrific what you said. And then you had the usual suspects jumping out and saying, what he meant to say was this. He meant to say this. He clearly says an infant. He clearly says they would resuscitate if that's what the mother wanted. And then they would have a conversation. He clearly says all those things. And nobody in the Democratic Party stops and says, whoa, hang on a second here. Like, where's Casey? Where's the lesser Casey? Isn't he supposed to be a pro-lifer? Isn't that he's a fraud, but isn't that what he pretends to be? Why didn't he come out and condemn the statements by the governor of Virginia? Nobody does in the Democratic Party. Nobody. Even if the governor didn't mean what he said, and he's just a dope and said what he said because he has no idea, when he said it, why did no one come out and say, I don't want to be associated with this guy? If somebody in my party came out and said something that horrific, I would be expected to come out and say something. Isn't that how it works with Republicans? Everybody had to condemn Steve King and what Steve King might have said about white supremacy. Remember that? Everybody was asked. Everybody had to condemn it. Why does that not happen with Democrats? Why do they not have to all go on record and say whether or not they agree or disagree with something like this? They don't. They all get a pass on it. And the fact that nobody else on the left came out today and said what Governor Northam said was horrific, they just sit back and say nothing. And if he'd stood by his comments, there'd be enough people defending him right now. You know there would be. And nobody on the left would be going after him. The Democratic Party has gone so far to the left. I keep saying this, and this is another classic example of this, okay? This is another classic example of this. There are so many people on the left now. You know, there was a time when Bill Clinton ran for president in the 1990s, he said abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Okay, those three words, safe, legal, and rare. And a lot of people at the time thought, yeah, that makes sense, right? And that was the position of the Democrats at the time. You had a pro-life governor of Pennsylvania who sued Planned Parenthood. He was sued by Planned Parenthood over the fact that he did not want to fund Planned Parenthood. It was a major Supreme Court case. That was Casey's father, who wasn't a fraud, unlike his lesser son. You had Democrats who were pro-life back then, but then Casey wasn't allowed to speak at the convention. Things started to change. Now it's full-born where you've got governors signing bills allowing essentially infanticide to occur. Not even essentially, outright infanticide. And they're wearing this as a badge of honor that they're now signing bills allowing late-term abortion, partial birth abortion, and now post-birth abortion. And they're wearing this on their sleeve. It's the same thing with now immigration. You know, they've gone from being a party that voted for walls and fences to now being a party that says no walls because they are now signs of white oppression and colonialism. This is all a reaction to their kooky base. It's why they're going to elect a nut. I'm telling you right now, they're not elect as president. I should say nominate a nut. They're going to nominate a nut. Howard Schultz may be a lefty, and he's probably a big liberal, but he's not nuts. The guy built a major business. He's employed people. I may disagree with his ideas on things. He's not a kook. The reason why Howard Schultz is not welcome in this party is because he's not a kook. He would have to get really, really kooky really fast to be part of this. He is getting so destroyed by the left right now. It's amazing to me. Howard Schultz says he turned down Elizabeth Warren's donation request. He refused to donate to Senator Elizabeth Warren, D, former Native American. Take a listen.
Do you think Elizabeth Warren's a serious person on taxes?
I think she's a serious person, yes. Yeah. She came to see me a few years ago and asked me for a contribution for her Senate race.
Did you give it to her?
I did not.
Okay.
Why?
Wow.
I don't believe what Elizabeth Warren is, what stands for. Oh, I don't believe the country should be heading to socialism.
You think she's a socialist?
I think she believes in programs that will lead to a socialism in America. She's a smart woman. I respect her. This isn't personal. I just don't agree with her.
All right.
We need to have that conversation another time.
You need to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Howard,
you hate women. That's what it is. Because you hate women, right? Right? Oh, you didn't give her money? I thought she hates corporations. Wasn't he the CEO of Starbucks?
Yes.
Doesn't Elizabeth Warren, former Native American, decry corporations all the time?
Especially ones like Starbucks.
Right? Dances with Hypocrites. It's a new movie coming out, new political documentary. Why would she even ask him for money? He's a billionaire.
Grassroots, come on.
You didn't? Don't you love Mika's reaction to, hey, you didn't? You didn't? So great. Can you play that again, Greg? Amazing.
Did you give it to her?
I did not.
Okay.
Why?
Wow.
I don't believe Elizabeth Warren has a vagina. I don't believe the country should be heading to socialism.
Is that why? Because she's a woman?
You think she's a socialist? Mm-hmm.
I think she believes
in... Do you think she's too much estrogen for you?
Hmm? ...programs mm-hmm. that will lead to a socialism in America. She's a smart woman. I respect her. This isn't personal. I just don't agree with her.
All right.
We need to have that conversation.
You can feel the tension in the air at that moment. Now, this is Howard Schultz. He describes the fact that he's a billionaire, and he says something here which I yes, at one point, he's right. This was the American dream at one point. Cut two.
Why not just run as a Democrat? We know you are a Democrat. You've given to Hillary Clinton. You've supported her candidacy.
I have been a Democrat, but I am
no longer a Democrat.
No, I'm not a Democrat. I don't affiliate myself with the Democratic Party, who's so far left, who basically wants the government to take over health care, which we cannot afford, the government to give free college to everybody, and the government to give everyone a job, which basically is $40 trillion on the balance sheet of $21.5 trillion. Can't afford it. What can we do? What we need is comprehensive tax reform. What we need is sensible solutions to immigration. All of these things cannot happen under the current environment. Now, I've also been criticized for being a billionaire. Let's talk about that. I'm self-made. I grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, New York. I thought that was the American dream, the aspiration of America. You're going to criticize me for being successful when in my company over the last 30 years, the only company in America that gave comprehensive health insurance, equity in the form of stock options, and free college tuition, and Elizabeth Warren wants to criticize me for being successful? No.
And they all just sit there because they don't like the fact that he's successful either. So one of the Obama kids came out and said here, former Clinton advisor Philippe Raines, he called Howard Schultz a arrogant, wealthy jackass. Is that audio, Greg? Do we have that?
No, I think he said it to Axios.
Yes, he said it to Axios. Yeah. Democratic operative Philippe Raines. Is it Philip or Philippe?
I don't know.
Pick one, dude. Philip or Philippe. He said, quote, Howard Schultz is a jackass. And he said he's arrogant and wealthy. When did wealthy become I don't understand that. That's now a discrediting factor in a candidate running for president who's a Democrat. But unlike Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, Howard Schultz actually made his money in the private sector. I'm not voting for the guy. He's not my politics. I'm just using this as a point to make. Say what you want about Howard Schultz. The guy made his money by building a business. He didn't make his money somehow being in the public sector his entire life. Like Bernie Sanders did. How Bernie Sanders has four houses in Vermont, I have no idea. I don't know. Has the FBI concluded that investigation into his wife and the college yet? I'm curious. That's kind of gone off the front pages as well. Howard Schultz talked about Kamala Harris because she wants to abolish the insurance industry. This is why Howard Schultz has no chance of ever becoming their nominee. None. Cut six.
You compared Democrats' proposal to universal health care akin to a border wall in 60 minutes. Is that what you mean?
Well, you just played Senator Harris as saying she wants to abolish the insurance industry. That's not correct. That's not American. What's next? What industry are we going to abolish next? The coffee industry? I mean, the Republicans want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. I don't agree with that. The Affordable Care Act should stay and it should be refined. But to think we should get rid of the insurance industry, again, this is exactly the situation. It's far too extremes on both sides, and the silent majority of America does not have a voice.
If
and that's the voice I want to
get. If you have a winning message, yeah. Why not have that debate within the Democratic Party, of which you were a member up until recently?
Because I would have to be disingenuous to try and run as a Democrat. There are millions of people in the country who no longer affiliate themselves with a Democrat or a Republican. Here's the facts. 42% of the American people today designate themselves as a independent person. 30% are registered and 12% affiliate. That's more than Republicans or Democrats. Let's give them an opportunity.
There you go. But that's the thing. He is so toxic. This has been one of the worst rollouts for a presidential candidate I've ever seen in my life. I don't know who coordinated this, but man, it's bad. And it's bad because Howard Schultz should have actually probably come out and run, should have denounced the Democratic Party and, I don't know, maybe run as a, I mean, he's not a libertarian probably, but he has no part of what's left of the Democratic Party anymore. That's very, very obvious now and should be very obvious to you. That party has gone, whoo-hoo, it's out there, kids.
Rich Cioli, 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.